Yes, I'm back, sir.
Thank you. Just before I hand over to Advocate Mbofu, and Honorable Nola.
Well, thank you, Chair. Before we adjourn for tea break, Advocate Power flighted a document there by the screen, but only shown us paragraph 14 of a document that we do not have. So I wanted to check if are these that which Advocate Bauer flighted on the screen, the findings of a disciplinary hearing against the witness on the stand. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Just before I go to you, Advocate Mbofu, Advocate Bauer.
So there was a disciplinary hearing of Mr. Kekana. The disciplinary officer was Mr. Sofofuri, who was a senior executive manager. There are two documents. One document says decision, and then he finds him, and the decision deals with conclusions. He finds him guilty on charge, and he discusses three charges in that document, that he finds him guilty on. And then there's a second document, which is called Ruling on Sanction, which is the document of the 27th of August 2020, and it's that document that contains it, and it's the reasoning of the disciplinary officer in respect of the ruling on sanction. So there are two documents. The first one is the basis upon which he finds him guilty, and the second one is called the ruling on sanction. And we'll make them available to the members.
I think that will be important. Can we urgently make those two documents accessible and available to members so that they start applying their minds? And it might be important if those would be made available before 2 o'clock when I start with the members. Thank you. Advocate Mbofu, proceed.
Thank you. Chairperson, yes.
Just a pause. I see a hand of Mr. Zongula.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there's one thing I would like to raise. In the previous, before we went to tea, there was this issue where the witness that is under oath was somewhat being evasive and refusing to answer a question. Very, very simple and straightforward question. Now, Honorable Muda spoke and said Advocate Mbofu must, he must say the kind of answers that he wants. Now, I found that, Chair, to be first misleading because the witness was not answering a direct question. So I would like you, Chair, to also protect Advocate Mbofu, because it can't be that a member of the committee is somewhat suggesting that Advocate Mbofu is not happy with the answer, whereas the witness under oath is refusing to answer a direct question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Zongula. Your point is noted, definitely. Advocate Mbofu.
Thank you, Sir President. Sir, yes, before I ask my next question, I think I must register this. Unfortunately, thank you, Honorable Zongula. I didn't even know what Honorable Zongula was talking about, because it must have been the time when I was switched off. And I only caught, as I said, the tail end of Honorable Heron's input. So I didn't realize that I had just been insulted once again. I thought today would be the one day that I'm not going to be insulted. Chairperson, I'm appealing to you for protection once again. You have not protected me or Advocate Mkobane since day one. Literally every day, I have numerous examples of being exposed, insulted, and not once have you come to protection, not once. And therefore, It's very important.
Your recollection of that is inaccurate, and I've done that a number of times. That recollection is inaccurate.
Well, that's fine, sir. But that's my view of it, and the record speaks for itself. Also, you're not protecting me from the members. I don't know on what basis Honorable Mulder could say that I don't like an answer. You know, cross-examination, maybe we'll explain it at some stage. Maybe we'll bring someone to explain what is the purpose of cross-examination. Cross-examination has been described as the best engine ever invented to extract the truth by Wigmore, who is an authority on such issues. But it's also the best engine to expose lies as well. And that's what we're busy doing. And so one of the ways in which people don't give evidence properly under oath is to evade questions, or to not to answer simple questions, or to give all sorts of roundabout answers. If Honorable Mulder does not know that, then I will, or anybody else, I will bring an expert to explain how these the implications of these things, or on any process such as this one. But what I will not stand for, Chairperson, is to be abused by anybody. I've made that very clear. I will not be abused or bullied or intimidated or derailed. But it's fine. This is not about me. It's about Advocate Mukabane. You can abuse me as much as you like. I will never be bullied. I've been bigger people have tried to bully me for the past 40 years or so, and they've
failed. Thank you for Advocate Mukabane.
So it will never work with me. So and I'm not worried about that, Chair. I'm not worried about the process. Me, you can do whatever.
That's fine. Can we now proceed to your cross-examination?
No, I'm not going to. No, I'm going to address you now. And then, so you don't protect me, the members are abusing me. And the other thing I want to raise is about the evidence leaders as well. I also have to place on record, because people are following this process. And we've all said that it's a new process, that we have not, it's uncharted waters and so on. The evidence leaders are not prosecutors. So their duty is to expose whatever, whether it's in favor of Advocate Mukabane or against her. Their role is now becoming to look like prosecutors. Even prosecutors, for that matter, have a duty to expose evidence that is against them. So to sit here with a witness who has been found guilty of dishonesty, and it's not in the so-called summary and the build-up, we were told about this case and that case and that case. At that point, we should have also been told that this witness has been found guilty of dishonesty. What if we didn't have it? Because the idea is to assist the member. We might not have had this document, and the evidence leaders have got it, and it's not brought to the attention of the nation. Because this doesn't even belong to parliamentarians.
Advocate Mpofu. Advocate Mpofu. Thank you, Advocate Mpofu. Because I'd want you to proceed to your cross-examination. But before I allow you to do that, I've made a point here, and I want you to refrain from that. Your recollection of you not being protected as a public protector from the chair is inaccurate, and I want to make that point, and I hope it's not going to be repeated. But secondly, when issues are brought to the attention of the chair, at no point that matters are not being attended to. So I'd want you to proceed to, and at some point, whether later today, I will address you on this point of double jeopardy as a chair and Indic, because you just raised something similar to that about issues of prostitution and so on. I will attend to that and address the hearing on that. I now recognize before you proceed the hand of Honorable Nodad and the Honorable Lucy.
No, thank you so much, Chair. Chair, you know, I mean, I think we've been sitting on this hearing for past couple of days now. And I think it's very important, Chair, to understand that there's a very clear distinction on what our role and responsibility is as a committee, and what we need to consider the committee from all that is represented here in this committee. But secondly, Chair, also as members of this committee, we cannot be sitting here and, you know, be referred to as, you know, dealt with bigger people and so on and whatever the case may be. We need to respect each other here. There's a process that we need to run, and it's important for everybody to be protecting this process. And there's been jabs and comments that have been made, whether to witnesses, whether to the committee, whether to you as a chairperson, and that is unacceptable. Neither are we going to sit here and be insulted or bullied, whatever the references may be, because we've got a responsibility to do justice to this process. And this process needs to be fair on all that participate in it, including Advocate Bof and Advocate Peter Mokobane and her team. So I think, Chair, let's just hold the decorum of the House and not degenerate and throw comments and insults, because then we then lose the whole purpose of this. I really plead with you, Chair, to chair this meeting and facilitate it in all ends. There's nobody special more than somebody else here. We all have a responsibility to play, and let's do that. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nodwaga. That's in order. Honorable Luzibo.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I won't take your time. Can we agree that there is a process we agreed to, that let's go through that process? Where there is a concern about proceedings, can we go to the back room as agreed, or if you were a judge, I would say to your chambers and deal with the issue. For now, let's continue with what we are doing. All those issues must be dealt with outside this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Luzipo. It's just that some of these issues don't need a back room. They've got to be attended to on the spot in the meeting, because they are part of what the directives are asking us to do. So the point is taken, but because it's not just confusion between the evidence leader and the legal team of the public protector. Some of the issues go straight to this constitutional process that we're driving as the National Assembly. Thank you for that, Advocate Mpofu. Sorry, I see a hand of Advocate Bauer before we proceed.
I do feel that I need to respond to the allegations made against the evidence leaders.
Yeah.
Having the allegation made that we have failed to disclose a guilty finding on the question of dishonesty in respect of this witness. I do not find in the guilty findings on the charges which Mr. Kikana faced to have included in charge 1, 2, and 3 a finding that says I accordingly find him guilty of dishonesty. I, during direct examination, expressly stated that he faced disciplinary proceedings, he was found guilty, he was dismissed, the matter went to the CCMA, it was dismissed, and his proceedings are pending before the Labour Court. It has not reached finality.
Thank you, Advocate Bauer, for placing that on record. Advocate Mpofu, can we resume?
Yes. Mr. Kakana?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. As an attorney of South Africa, do you think it's important that a finding of dishonesty has been made against you in any context?
I don't understand the question. Can you repeat the question?
As an attorney, and knowing the rules and ethics, do you think it's important that such a finding of dishonesty has been made in the context of your disciplinary hearing? In other words, if you wanted to be, let's say, admitted as an advocate, would you have to disclose this dishonesty issue?
I don't understand, because I wasn't charged with dishonesty. I was charged with unauthorized disclosure of confidential information. So I was not found in any way guilty of being dishonest.
No, I'm not saying, that's Advocate Bauer's words. That was not mine. I remember I changed the question about guilt. guilty, as in the charges. I accept that you are not charged for dishonesty. I accept that you were not, therefore, because it was not one of the charges, it was not one of the verdicts. I'm saying that in the finding of what you did, of your conduct, an element of dishonesty was found. Do you think that is important for somebody who is an officer of the court?
Is that the complete question? Is that what?
Concept? Yeah. Do you think that is important and a disclosable fact for someone who's an officer of the court? Question mark. Yeah, that's the end.
I'm not so sure, counsel. Do know that one has to report certain conduct, but I wouldn't be sure about this. The one that you're asking, counsel.
Okay, no, that's fine. I think so. Do you have you lied under oath before?
No.
All right. Did you under oath supply confirmatory affidavits for the public protector in the CX matter?
Yes.
And you were confirming, are you still standing by the fact that you were supporting what she was saying as your version of events?
The confirmatory that I remember signing was the one dealing with my handwritten notes and the row 53. Unless if maybe you can point me to some other document, but that's the one I remember off the cuff.
Did you ever, you know that when you lie by commission or by omission. Did you ever, until you were charged and for distributing information which did not belong to you, did you ever express this your so-called discomfort to any authority?
Discomfort in regards to what?
All the things you found odd and which you did not agree with allegedly.
Well, in my affidavit, I do point out that I did report this to an attorney and an advocate.
You reported what? What you reported to the attorney and advocate was another lie, which was that the constitutional amendment came from the SSA. We've now established that that was not correct. And you know what I'm talking about, authorities. I'm not talking about you gossiping about the public protector with lawyers. I'm talking about making a report. Did you ever make such a report?
Sir, I did not gossip with any attorney. I informed them of what happened during the investigation. Apart from reporting it to them, then I made the protective disclosure.
Yes, but you say, this is what you say you told them. No, the protective disclosure, forget about that. That was 2 years after the event. You are not a whistleblower. We established that yesterday. You are the exact opposite of a whistleblower. A whistleblower is somebody who must be protected from the company retaliating to them for making a report. Do you accept that?
Chair, I cannot agree with that, and I cannot disagree with that. I don't have a view on
okay.
that proposition.
Right. Well, let me tell you for free. A person who is in respect of whom something is done, and then they retaliate to the company. It's the exact opposite. It's when the company retaliates against you that you become a whistleblower. When you, as you are doing now, are retaliating for the company for getting rid of you for your dishonesty. then that is not whistleblowing. It's the exact opposite. You are not a whistleblower. You are a whistle inhaler, whatever the opposite of whistleblower is. Okay, so that...
I don't think you need to go to that level.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Chairperson. That's fine. All right. Now, I was saying, Mr. Kekana, this is what you said in your evidence in chief. I told them that when you were talking to the lawyers, I told them that the recommendation to change the constitution came from the SSA. That's what you told the lawyers. That's what you are talking about now. Correct?
Yes. Yes, meaning the note that was handed over to us.
No, but that's a lie, Mr. Kekana. A recommendation, the impression you were giving is that the recommendation to change the constitution came from the SSA, but you knew that the recommendation came from the public protector and Mr. Goodson in your presence, apart from the issue of the piece of paper.
Chair, I would like to repeat my answer that the note that we received, TK4, it does indicate at the top recommendations. And it was a note that we received in regards to the amendment of the Constitution.
Okay, fine. I don't want to go back into that. We've established that that was something that the public protector told you. She had asked for input from an economist, but now you are obfuscating it again. That's fine. Anyway, I'm sorry, Chairperson. Okay, Chair, if you allow, Chair, please, there's just something that I noticed during the break. I just want to round off the point that I was making about TK3, the attachment to TK3. Mr. Kekana, can you go to... After the fee must fall thing. 678 to 680.
Sorry, paragraph.
Okay, let me use the nearest it's around six paragraph six, Mr. Kakam.
Yes, I'm at paragraph six.
Right. I just wanted to highlight once again some of the issues that were inserted by the public protector. In the middle of that page, it says, she says, substantiated because the monies were never recovered and used. Written submission of SSA. You remember that?
Yes, I see that.
Yeah, what was she conveying to you when she was saying you must use the written submission of SSA?
I cannot recall that. I really can't recall that.
Okay,
but
that's fine.
I think what she meant was that we were to use the written submission that we would get from Mr. James Ramabula.
Yes, okay. But what it certainly does not mean is that you must conceal the interaction with SSA. It means it's the exact opposite. You must actually use it. Agreed?
Chair, I've described what it meant to me or what it means to me.
Mr. Kekana, please answer the question, man.
Where
it says use written submission of SSA, whatever it means and whatever you cannot recall, whatever, but what you can tell just from reading, using your eyes, is that it does not mean that you must conceal the interaction with SSA.
Well, sure, there's nothing there that says conceal.
Thank you. And then at the bottom, it says amend the constitution to cater for state bank pair goods in proposals to curb future such occurrences by banks. That one speaks for itself. In other words, you are saying the issue of the amendment of the constitution pair the proposal of the economic expert, Mr. Goodson. That one seems to be clear. Did you agree?
Yes, that's what she wrote.
Yeah. And if you go back a little bit to 4.2.5, you'll find this is the one that she's being crucified for by the powers that be.
Yes, I'm there.
Well, she wrote there, amending constitution for South African Reserve Bank to benefit the people. Is there anything wrong with that, with making a constitutional amendment to benefit the people of South Africa, as opposed to sectional interests and those who have money and control of the media?
Well, I'm not so sure whether you're asking my view or an opinion, or you're asking whether it was actually right or wrong for her to put that. Can you clarify, please?
I'm saying, is there anything wrong in your estimation, Mr. Kekana, as a citizen of South Africa, in amending the constitution to benefit the people?
Well, as a general statement, it wouldn't be wrong, but in regards to the investigation that we were having, for me, it was not a relevant issue.
Yeah, for you. All right. But let me put it this way. As a South African, are you aware broadly of that there's something called the Zondo Commission?
I remember the Zondo Commission, not that clearly though, but I do remember the Zondo Commission.
That's fine. You and I are having lunch, I'll tell you what is the Zondo Commission. But in case you, for the part that you remember, do you remember that, for example, Judge Zondo suggested an amendment of the constitution for to provide for a direct election of a president?
I don't remember that, unless if you show me that.
No, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But anyway, but you agree that an investigation that has specific terms of reference, there is nothing wrong in principle for it suggesting an amendment of the constitution if you ignore the noise from those with disinterested interests.
Sir, can you repeat that?
In other words, okay, let me put it this way, Mr. Kekan. To amend a constitution is not a crime. Do you agree?
Yes, it's not a crime. It has its own processes that has to be followed.
Correct. In fact, the constitution itself provides for its own amendment. So there's nothing really alarming about a proposal. People make proposals about bringing back the death sentence and all sorts of things all the time, and they don't get jailed or crucified or impeached. Correct?
Well, maybe to respond to you, this was what the PP wanted to do, but for myself, I didn't see any relevancy in regards to our investigation.
No, that's fine. That's why you're not the public protector. I'm saying that the public protector wanted to amend the constitution to benefit the people, and you and I agree that there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I'm not so sure. She did write there that amending the constitution for SARB to benefit the people, but I'm not so sure how, but it was
yes.
There. That's what she wrote.
No, that's fine. Thank you. Right. Now, let's go to the meeting with the presidency. You accept, this one is quite easy, you accept that the, again, apart from the hullabaloo, there was, that meeting was the meeting of the 7th of June in particular, Mr. Kekana, that meeting was requested by the legal department of the presidency.
I wouldn't know that.
You can't dispute it.
I have no knowledge at all of that.
Right. But what you can confirm is that that meeting only dealt with the issue of the FIU. In other words, the practicalities about the FIU proclamation that the public protector had in mind.
Well, I didn't know about that meeting, and I was invited to it, and when I went there, I saw the meeting had already begun. There were discussions already, and the TP indicated to me that the people from the presidency were there to assist us with the remedial action relating to the FIU.
You did not yourself witness that?
So I didn't witness what?
You know, I think the PP told you, you arrived after the meeting had already happened, and the PP told you that there was discussions about the FIU. So I'm asking
no.
You yourself did not witness such discussion.
No, I'm saying that when I entered, the meeting was already ensuing, meaning that it was in progress already, not after. It was already in progress. And when I entered, I was told that I was introduced to, I think, two persons from the presidency. And I was told by the PP that they were there to assist with the remedial action relating to the SIU.
Yes. So
I was present. I was present in that meeting, but I didn't start with the meeting.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Kekana. Let's assume you found the meeting halfway or quarterway or whatever. But for the part that you were present, the discussions were only about the SIU, correct?
Yes, they involved the SIU assisting us with the proclamation or the reopening of the proclamation.
Yes. And there was nothing wrong with that discussion. You did not find it odd.
I did not find it normal also, because I didn't understand why we were getting assistance from the presidency's legal advisors.
Okay, and you're saying until today you did not know that that meeting was not initiated by the public protector, but she was invited by the legal department and the president?
Well, I don't know who initiated the meeting.
Right. Well, because the impression is created that she was doing something that needed to be hidden. you wouldn't go along with that because she disclosed that discussion in the report, isn't it?
Well, apart from my view that I didn't understand why the presidency were assisting us with the remedial action relating to the SIU,
yes.
I really can't comment on any other issues that you are raising.
Right. And also, you may assist us because then we won't have to call President Zuma. There is a suggestion that the meeting was with the president, and the president at that time was President Zuma, and he does not seem to know of such a meeting. Can you confirm for this commission that you are not aware of any meeting with President Zuma?
No, I never had any meeting with President Zuma.
Yes. All right, just a minute. Because the independent panel, well, the panel that was independent, the says, Chaplain, at paragraph 263 of the independent panel report, that there's prima facie evidence of misconduct against the public protector for the failure to reveal in her report and subsequent affidavit the fact that she held meetings with the SSA and the president. So firstly, we've already established that she never failed to report. In fact, she asked you to reveal the interactions with the SSA and the project thereof. But you can definitely tell the commission that she cannot be accused for failure to reveal a meeting with the president because there was no such meeting, at least that you know of, correct?
Chair, as I indicated, I've never had a meeting with the president.
Yeah, well, even the National Prosecuting Authority seems to have the same idea, because since the beginning of 2021, she has been charged criminally, and one of the charges is that she concealed a meeting with the president. You are not aware of any such thing?
I'm not aware of any meeting with the president.
Yeah, well, thank you. Welcome to South Africa. All right. Do you, just at a general level, do you understand that the work of the public protector will always be the subject of unnecessary attention from powerful forces in society? In other words, you always have to be vigilant as the public protector as an institution. Would you accept that as a general statement?
Chair, I don't understand the question. Maybe can counsel elaborate on this process that he's talking about?
Yes. Have you ever read the judgment of Economic Freedom Fighters versus the speaker, otherwise known as the EFF and Kanta judgment?
Yes, I read that some time ago.
Okay. When the court there referred to the public protector as the biblical David against the Goliath, and talks about those who are in the raw chambers of power who will want to sabotage her. Is this the first time you hear of such a thing?
I remember that as well.
Yeah, okay.
In the judgment.
That's what I'm talking about. And therefore, do you think that in the midst of that, it is correct or it's proper for the public protector within its ranks to have people who are peddlers of gossip and stolen information?
I don't understand the question. Can you repeat that, Hansel?
Would you agree that given the onslaught by powerful forces, economic and political, against the public protector, it would be improper for it to harbor within its ranks liars, imposters, and people who gossip and peddle information that does not belong to them?
I wouldn't be sure of that sentiment that the public protector as an institution would harbor negative people or people of no character. All the people that I knew there were of good character.
Yes. And yeah, I'm sure that those ones are still there. Okay. Now, there was the issue of the... You were also trying to insinuate something about the lawyers, the change of lawyers. You don't know why those lawyers were changed, correct?
Yes, I don't know.
Okay, thank you. That's a quick one. All right. So let's move to the note. You read the note that you wrote of the meeting of the 3rd of May that I had said must be sent to you overnight for fairness.
No, it doesn't sound to me.
Advocate Bauer?
I thought it was.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, Mr. Akekana. It's quite a short one. If you want a few minutes to have a look. Sorry, it was an oversight, Mr. Akekana. Can you just, it's literally half a page. Can you run it up? Look at it, Mr. Kakana. I'm sure you remember it now.
Yes, I recognize the notes.
Okay, good. Is that your handwriting?
Yes, I think that's my handwriting.
Okay. Okay, through this note, I'm going to demonstrate that nothing that comes from your mouth should be taken as evidence, that should be taken into account by this August committee. For two main reasons. One is what you called impaired memory, where you just don't know what happened. The second one is just your dishonesty, which I think you've displayed more of. But let me tell you why I'm saying this. I asked you yesterday about what happened in that meeting, and everything that is in your own note, you either disputed or said you don't know that it happened. You remember I asked you that when you were saying they were talking about apartheid times, I said they were talking about current times, and they were talking about the Heath Commission. You remember that?
Yes, I remember those questions.
Yeah. Now, can you see in your notes that contrary to what you were saying, actually there was a discussion about Heath, which is current affairs, not apartheid time issues.
So as I indicated, there was no discussion on Heath. my recollection, and upon seeing the note, that there was reference made to Heath, but there was no discussion about Heath.
Okay. So, but when I asked you yesterday, you did not say there was any reference to Heath. In fact, I was raising that in the context, Mr. Kekana, of demonstrating to you that the issues that were raised, or rather disagreeing with you that the issues that were raised only dealt with apartheid times, or actually even dealt with apartheid times. You remember the context in which I raised the Heath issue?
Maybe you can refresh my memory, but Chair, what I indicated was that most of the discussions were around the apartheid era. I do see in my note that I mentioned Heath, but there were no discussions on Heath. If I remember correctly, there was only just a referral on Heath and Davis, and yeah, but there were no real discussions on Heath and Davis.
Okay, well, whatever you call it, Mr. Kekana, whether it was a referral or a mention, that's exactly what I was saying to you, that those are indications that the issues that were raised were current issues. Davis and Heath are not pre-democratic era institutions. Those are post-apartheid institutions, if apartheid is gone.
Well, if you put it in that context, I would agree with you.
Yes, you agree with me today because your note is here. And I want to also tell you that you also on the South African Reserve Bank, in fact, that's where this question came from. Because you were denying that there was a discussion about the vulnerability of the Reserve Bank currently. You were saying, no, the discussion was about vulnerability before.
Yes.
That's not true either.
Look at
your note under FARB. Sorry, can you move it down a bit? Furthermore, yes. So the Reserve Bank was mentioned and discussed, correct?
Yes, it was discussed, but that's per the context that I had indicated yesterday.
Yes, but look at the second note there. It says, how are they vulnerable, the South African Reserve Bank? Yes. That is, the word are is present tense, isn't it?
Yes, it's a present tense connotation.
Yes. So how are they vulnerable cannot be a reference to the apartheid times, or at least the times before the political freedom, before the elections, correct? It's how are they vulnerable?
Chair, upon reading the statement, it may seem that it was a current sort of proposition, but from what I remember, Chair, we talked about the South African Reserve Bank in regards to the apartheid era.
And you wrote about, you're lying now, Mr. Kekana, you wrote about it in the present tense, although you are talking about in historical terms. So it's like you say, how is Jan van Riebeeck arriving today?
No, Chair. As I indicated, Chair, if my memory serves correct, all the discussions that we had on SARB were in regards to the pre-democratic era.
Okay, so we rely on...
That's my recollection of the events. Remember, Chair, I was present, and I would recollect more than anyone else, especially it would be me and the PP who would have maybe different versions, but that's my recollection of events.
But Mr. Kekana, I represent the public protector. You understand that as a lawyer?
I do understand that.
Okay. Now, I'm telling you that the recollection of the public protector is the same as that reflected in your own note, that there was a discussion about how are they vulnerable now.
Yes,
that's the prosecutor, no, not me, who records that. And that her version is confirmed by your own note. Your version is against your own note. Can anybody rely on anything that comes out of your mouth after this display of the past 2 days by you, Mr. Kekan?
Okay, as I indicated, my recollection of FRB and especially the discussions were around the pre-democratic era.
Yeah.
How are they vulnerable might also have been a question that I was asking as to why or how they were vulnerable. But what I remember the discussions is that the discussions emanated in the pre-democratic era.
I see. Well, okay, two things about that. So firstly, so it's either the public protector and your note are wrong, but your evidence before the committee is correct.
So I'm indicating what I can recollect.
All right. Well, that's fine. I think that speaks for itself. But I think the most important thing you've just said is that the word, how are they vulnerable, might have been a question you were asking yourself. Is that correct?
It could have been possible that that was the question that I was asking myself or a statement.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kekana. You see, the problem with this, Mr. Kekana, is the following. The High Court, to your knowledge, and the Full Court, and the Constitutional Court, and now this committee, have condemned the public protector. They've asked her to pay personal costs. And
sorry, Chair, Now, just hold Mr. Milam. Advocate Mpofu, I was just about to come. I would want you not to speak on behalf of this committee, because, and we have traveled this journey, that this committee has not condemned anybody, including the public protector. Please don't place that in the way of this committee.
Okay, that's fine. Fair enough, Chair. Not yet here. What I'm saying is that the independent panel has made a preliminary finding. The Constitutional Court, the majority of the Constitutional Court, has found that she was biased, and a litany of epithets that are associated with how unsuitable she is. And the courts have done so. Maybe this committee has not done so, but although some of its members have, and some of the parties represented in it have. The point I'm making is that one of the key issues that have attracted such condemnation, insult, trauma to the public protector is because she was accused of having discussed the vulnerability of the Reserve Bank. And now you are telling us that that might have just been something you were writing to ask yourself a question. Do you think that is fair, Mr.
Chair, maybe just get clarity, what is fair?
That a person who is a defender of the people of South Africa is crucified, and to the extent of having to pay personal costs for, among other things, a note that you were just writing to yourself about the vulnerability.
I don't have a view on that. I'm not so sure as to how all these people that council is mentioning arrived at the conclusion. All that I remember is what I have testified on the note.
Yes, Mr. Let me assist you. In the case of the Constitutional Court, the judgment of Khambebe J, which is the one case where the Constitutional Court upheld punitive and constitutional damages punitive and personal costs against the public protector. Fortunately, there was a dissenting judgment of Mokgweng CJ, which went through the issues and with which we agree. But the majority judgment, which is one of the judgments that has brought us here, that Ms. Bauer referred to, says the following at paragraph 178. The record contains handwritten notes of a meeting. That is, those are your notes, Mr. Kekana, the ones that we are dealing with now. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Held between the public protector and the state security agency on 3 May 2017. These revealed that the vulnerability of the Reserve Bank was discussed. That also comes from your note. You understand?
I understand.
Yeah. The Reserve Bank contended that this discussion with the state security agency about the vulnerability of the Reserve Bank was irregular. It said, it is unclear on what possible basis the vulnerability and vulnerability to whom of the Reserve Bank was relevant to the public protector's investigation into the CX report. The Reserve Bank expressed its concern that this discussion appeared to be aimed at undermining the Reserve Bank, and so on and so on. But the culmination of all this is that the public protector was biased, and her model was flawed, and she deserved to be malted with personal costs. I'm saying to you, is it fair that you should be visited with all those calamities on the basis of a note that you say you might have been writing to yourself?
Okay, as I indicated, according to my knowledge, the vulnerability related to discussions with the SSA during the pre-democratic era. I don't want to have a view on the Constitutional Court's judgment.
Yes, and even if you are correct, even if it was about the apartheid era, it would make it double unfair for her to be condemned as if it was discussing the current situation, wouldn't it? In fact, if your version is correct, then the unfairness would even be more patent. That's why we're here. We're here because of these findings of the court, which, according to some people here, they are not to be touched, even when they are clearly wrong and based on the incorrect information, like we have now demonstrated.
Okay, I have indicated a view. I don't have an opinion on the constitutional judgment on that score, and I've already indicated the context of vulnerability of the South African Reserve Bank in my notes.
Right. Now, you were trying to paint the public protector as being responsible for what you perceive as the lack of quality assurance on the report. Is that correct?
The CX report, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Whose responsibility was to quality assure the report?
Mr. Isaac Matlawe at that time was in charge of that.
And if he did not quality assure the report, whose fault was that?
Well, if it wasn't quality assured, I think he would be himself responsible for doing that. And if there was a failure, then the PP would ultimately deal with him.
Yes, but the PP asked you and him and all the others to quality assure the document, didn't she?
No, I did the first level of quality assurance because I was the one who was writing the report. But as one knows, you can't really quality assure your own work. So it had to go to quality assurance to Mr. Matlawe to do that. And thereafter, the PP had to also do her own assurances to make sure that the report is in order.
Yeah, but the PP, the evidence will be that she said to you that she thanked you for the good report and then said you needed a third person to look at it with a different eye, suggesting Mr. Matlawe. That was an instruction to you for the quality assurance of the report, wasn't it?
Yes, Mr. Matlawe, as I indicated, was the one who was responsible for quality assurance. So usually all reports would go to him before going to the PP for the final check.
No, Mr. Kekana, don't dodge the question. I'm not talking about usually. I'm saying specifically, in this case, the public protector thanked you for the report. That will be her evidence. And she said you needed a third eye to look at it, Mr. Matlawe, and that you needed to go through it page by page with that third party.
I can't confirm that. Can you show me maybe that email that you're referring to?
No, I'm not. Why do you think it's an email? Who said anything about an email? It's because
I'm thinking you're referring to a document or instructions I got by email, so that's why I'm asking.
No, you're right, by the way. It was an email, but that's exactly because you know that what I'm saying is true. Forget about the email for now. I'm asking, do you deny that the public protector thanked you for the report and asked you to have it quality assured?
As I indicated, counsel, if you can show me that note, that would refresh my memory greatly.
Yes, no, I'm going to do that, but I'm asking you independently of whatever. Let's assume she was just saying it without evidence. Would you dispute it?
Independently, Chair, I have given evidence that what would happen is that the report would go to Mr. Matlawe, and then it would go to the PP for the final check.
Mr. Kakan, please, I'm asking you a simple question, sir. You've just said that the fact that there was no quality assurance must be blamed on the public protector. I'm showing you that it must actually be blamed on you if it was even true. And I'm asking you a very simple question, sir. Do you dispute that the public protector specifically asked you to, having thanked you for the report, to ensure that it is quality assured by Mr. Matlawe? Do you deny that?
I don't remember, but I would have been sure that I would have been the one to quality assure it, and Mr. Matlawe would have been the one to quality assure it as well as the PP as a final check.
Mr. Kekana, do you not understand the question, or are you just...
Maybe you can expand on the question, because I don't feel I'm dodging the question. I'm answering it.
All right. I was just doing this so that I'm not ambushing you. Chair, I don't know how to deal with this, whether I should send the email to Ms. Bauer and then we can deal with it at another stage, or I can just read it out and put it to the witness and he can deny it or not.
Yes, Attorney Bauer.
Mr. Mpofu, you send the email. My email is not working, but send it to Advocate Mayosi.
Okay.
Send it, but in the meantime, please read it out.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will make sure one of my...
get the email earlier today.
Pardon?
been appreciated, Advocate Mpofu, if we'd been sent the email earlier today.
Okay, well, I'm not going to repeat what I said in a moment. I didn't know that the man was going to deny his own email or the message. Normally, I don't have to prove. I would have just put it as something from the public protector, but I was not going to know that he's going to deny. But I'm not a prophet. Yeah. So, okay, this is, it says the following, Mr. Subject, draft report. Thanks, Teboho. Thanks, Teboho. Very good report. But we need a third person to look at it with a different eye, bracket, Matlawe maybe, close bracket. And it is a response to your message which you sent, Mr. Mukekana, to the public protector at 5.06 p.m. on the 17th of May 2017, where you said, "Hi PP, kindly find attached a draft working report. I'm not done with it yet, especially the number one research on case law relating to accountability and state money and something else." And then her response is what I've read to you. Does that refresh your memory?
Can I see that, Council? I really need to see the document that you're referring to.
Yes.
Especially
yeah, it's coming.
To jog my memory very well, you know, so...
Yeah, no. Fair enough, Mr. Kekan. But from just without seeing it yet, does that ring a bell to you?
As I indicated, I had to do the QA on the reports. Matlawe also had to do the QA, and also the PP had to do her own QA.
Advocate Bauer, we've just sent it to your WhatsApp. I don't know if that will assist.
Proceed, Advocate Mpofu.
Yeah, and I just cannot find the page, Chair, but we actually think that the evidence leaders have this email. But I stand corrected. I'll find it in the record. It might be part of something else. I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying it might be in their possession.
Advocate Mpofu, would you mind if I sent it on to the witness? As a WhatsApp?
No, I wouldn't. Oh, that might be an efficient way of doing it, yes. But will you also be able to screen share it for the members?
Just give me a minute.
Okay.
sorry, Advocate Mpofu. Wow, we're endeavoring to do that. Can I understand you to say that this was the PP's version on an instruction given on the final draft?
No, why would I say that? I said draft report. I've read the word draft report twice. I'm saying the subject was a draft. Kindly find attached a draft working report. That's what I just read out. I'm not done with it yet, especially one, the research on case law relating to accountability and statement and so on. And then the response was, thanks, Teboho, very good report, but we need a third person to look at it with a different eye. One does not quality assure a final report. You quality assure the one that is on its way to becoming called that. It would be futile to quality assure a report that's already final or issued. That's not what I said. Have you got it, Mr. Kekana?
I do see something, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, your version is even better than mine.
Yeah, just expand it on the screen, if you can. Not possible. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I ask questions now on it?
Go ahead.
Like everyone, it's up now. Yes, thank you, sir. Please remove that. Yeah, thank you. Okay, Mr. Kekana, it's from Teboho Kekana, 17th May 2017, 5:06 p.m., as I said, to Busisiwe Mkobane, bracket protector, subject draft report. Hi, PP. Kindly find a task as draft working report. I'm not done with it yet, especially one. Research on the case law relating to accountability and state money. It was taking too long and I wanted to provide you with a complete working document. Two, I've factored PFMA but realized that I can't make findings on it. Three, I also included short summation of Mboweni Marcus Ramos. Four, I also included what the King 3 report, and then it goes on. Mboweni, Marcus, and Ramos, those are economists, Mr. Kekana, correct?
I'm not so sure of their qualifications. I knew Mr. Tito Mboweni was a former minister, later governor of the Reserve Bank, and again minister, but I'm not so sure about his qualifications.
Okay. Mr. Tito Mboweni is an economist. And Ms. Ramos is also an economist. I'm not so sure about Ms. Marcus, but I think she also is one. But anyway, let's put that aside. If you don't know, you don't know. Your response was, the public protector's response was, thanks, Teboho, very good report, but we need a third person to look at it with a different eye. Makawe, maybe. That's the part I'm talking about. Do you still say that she did not ask you to have it quality assured?
No, I didn't say she did not. I said I couldn't remember that. I said naturally I would quality assure the report. Maklawe would, and she would do the final quality assurance.
Yes, but I'm saying that you accept that from this evidence, your assertion that she must be blamed for the lack of quality assurance, if there was such a lack of quality assurance, is baseless, correct?
No, my indication is that the report was not quality assured before she released the final report.
Okay, it was quality assured at this point when you were asked to ensure. Did you follow the instruction to have it quality assured?
Yes, I quality assured it. I don't think Mr. Matlawi quality assured it, and I did warn the PP that, and especially before we released it, that the report was not quality assured by Mr. Matlawi.
So Mr. Kekan, I think you are now talking in circles. Was the report quality assured at any stage?
I just indicated that I did quality assure it.
Yes. So anybody who says that the report was not quality assured as a general statement would be lying, correct?
Well, I wouldn't want to put it in that way. My answer to that would be that if something has been quality assured in a formal sense, it would have gone to the quality assurance unit, which was by then responsible of Mr. Matlawi. So if a report had been quality assured, it would have gone through QA. There would be preliminary quality assurance by investigators, line managers, but the general practice was that a report had to go to the quality assurance unit before it can be publicized or before the PP signs and does her final checks.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, let me tell you that the evidence of the public protector will be that the report on her instruction was quality assured at all the stages. And in any event, it would be ridiculous for her to say it must be quality assured at this stage and then later not want it to be quality assured. But that will be her evidence. You, if you care to comment, you may, but she's going to disagree with you.
I disagree that it was quality assured at all stages.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, the... Sorry, Chair. Thank you, sir. Kekana, let's deal with the quickly with the Friday Daily report. You did not participate in this process up to the end, correct?
No, I didn't participate until the end.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just. I'll just put propositions to you about the version of a public protector. That she denies that she, anyway, this is third-hand information anyway. You yourself have no evidence of the public protector saying that the investigator should be removed because she was a DA member, correct?
Yes, as I indicated, I was informed by Ms. Bendo.
Okay, well, the public protector denies that, but Mr. Ndo maybe will be called. We'll deal with it with him. But I'm asking you just out of curiosity, if the public protector had said that the person should be removed because they are a DA member, would there have been anything wrong with that?
If there were just statements without any proof, yes, there would be some kind of something that would be wrong about that statement.
Some oddity. Yeah. Any proof of what? No, let's assume there was proof and she was a DA member. There's nothing wrong with being a DA member. Let's say she was indeed a DA member. I'm saying, would it have been wrong to remove her from this investigation?
Well, if she was a DA member, or any other political member, I wouldn't think it would have been wrong. But just, I think on the mere fact that one subscribed to a certain organization and is removed due to that, I think, yeah, that would be wrong.
Have you read the trade area report?
I tried to at the time it was released, but I didn't have an appetite to read the whole report.
Yes, but the reason why you put this issue on your so-called protected disclosure was because you were suggesting that there's something wrong with the alleged removal of the person who was a DA member. Can I read you the first page of the trade area report? It says, the complainant is Mr. R. Jinkelsen, a member of the Free State Provincial Legislature representing the Democratic Alliance. Now, given that fact, would it have been appropriate to have someone who's a DA member and associated with the complainant to participate in such, or not necessarily DA, anything? Let's say it was the UDM, was the complainant, and you had the investigator being a member of the UDM. Do you think that there'd be something wrong with the head of an institution intervening in that way?
My view and what I knew of Ms. Erica Siliers was that she was a person of integrity and who did a lot of good work. So whether she was a Democratic Alliance member or not a party political member of any party, I still believe that she did the good work in the Freda report, and I wouldn't think that she would do anything lesser, even if she was a Democratic Alliance member.
Okay, well, that's your view, Mr. Kekan. But do you think that the broader public of South Africa would be comfortable with somebody who was investigating their own case, so to speak? Do you know anything about recusal, about the law of recusal, that it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to have an integrity? If you are a member of the body that is complaining or being investigated or associated therewith, or a spouse of a person who is associated thereof, then you are ipso facto conflicted, even though you yourself might be a person of integrity. Is that incorrect, what I've just said? Did you study administrative law?
Well, if there was a conflict of interest and if there was evidence of that and it was proven, I wouldn't see anything wrong with the PP removing Ms. Erica Siliers because of that conflict of interest.
Thank you. And you understand that conflict of interest is not just actual conflict of interest, it's also what is reasonably perceived. In other words, at an objective level. So subjectively, the person might be the Pope or whatever, but if there's, objectively speaking, an investigation into the Catholic Church, then the Pope should not be the person who does it at an objective level. You understand? The point I'm making is that there's nothing to do with the integrity of the person subjectively. Do you know that?
I'll accept your view, but I don't have knowledge of that off the cuff.
Didn't you learn it at law school?
I learned it.
Okay. Is it different from what I've just summarized to you?
I would have to revisit what I had studied. Off the cuff, it becomes very difficult to just regurgitate all that one has learned.
Thank you, Mr. Kegana. Thank you, Advocate Mbofu.
What did I do, sir?
Just listen to the chair, please.
Okay.
We are now going to 10 minutes past one. we're now going to adjourn for lunch and come back at 2. And I will return the 15 minutes we might have interfered with of yours before when we came back from tea time. I'll give that to you to come back and wrap up your cross-examination. As I indicated in the morning, we'll do up until lunchtime, but we'll come back and ask you to do a wrap-up session in that regard. So I want us now to pause and go for lunch and be back at 2. I'd forget to both for Mr. Kekane. We'll return at 2. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Chair.